All right, and welcome back. We return for our third hour tonight. And Henry, I guess the president is mad. I guess he's real mad. I guess you've seen the latest that came out of his press secretary from Air Force One, that an executive order is being drawn up that has to do specifically with the social media business. And Mr. Trump is going to sign it tomorrow.
Right. The truth hurts. A little truth thrown on top of his lies. He gets real upset.
Isn't it amazing? The guy has excreted thousands of tweets from the twit, and probably a substantial portion of them contain fake news, false news, misdirection, misinformation, outright lies. Okay, so and here he is now. He's pissed off. He's throwing a major hissy fit. It just gets every day we're on here. It gets crazier. And I got a feeling it's going to get worse.
He looks at the polls, and the worse the polls get, the crazier he gets. And this is desperation right now. So he's trying to find something that's going to get his base lined up and all riled up. And
a Hail Mary in football.
Going after social media and going to do some type of illegal executive order here and just see how much chaos he can.
He's going to say, take me to the Supreme Court. Go ahead. Take me to the Supreme Court.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't even a government agency. I mean, this is a private company. And I mean, his lies are blatant, and all they did is put up a link that basically says, gives an explanation why his lies are blatant. And it's only about one thing. It's only about the mail-in voting, which he does all the time. He can do it, but others can't. And in some states, they do most of their voting by mail. And so he's trying to make a big deal out of it, and that states can't do this when in fact they can. And he has no authority over saying states can't allow voting by mail, since they've been doing it for years, and some almost all of their voting's by mail. And it ties into the pandemic. I mean, that's the reason it's worth discussing here. I mean, the pandemic situation in November could very well be a major disaster, and only fools who want to go to the polls to vote, they would much rather just check off their selections ballot and drop it in the mailbox. You know, they don't want to go to stand in line with a bunch of people coughing, and they'll have some morons there without masks that are kind of following Trump's guidance in that category, which, on top of it, this voting by mail, he's taking aims at reporters and basically making wearing a mask a political issue. And, it's all in line. I said he's anti-science, and he's about a combination of anti-science and wannabe dictator and / king. And that's what you got. And it's all happening during a pandemic. And
what
it's
a backdrop.
Pandemic, and it's a pandemic which is going to get much worse than it is today, although, you know, in his world, it's going to, a few flare-ups he's going to stamp out. But all we've seen so far is the Herald wave. That's the, hello, I'm here, guess what's coming? This is it.
Uh-huh.
This is just a preview. This is the main event is going to be in the fall.
You've made that clear for many months. Yeah.
And the main event is going to be significantly worse than the previews. And the previews were somewhat blunted by the stay at home orders. And paper just came out and JAMA that kind of made that point and gave several different examples of what would have happened without the lockdowns and how the lockdowns actually worked. And of course, in a few weeks, the lockdowns are going to be gone. I mean, here in Western Pennsylvania, I think next Friday, we're going green. I mean, we went from red to yellow, and then it's going to be green. It's going to be open season, so to speak. And it's not for people. It's going to be open season for the virus. It's going to have all these targets just helping spread the news, so to speak. And there are already, you know, spot outbreaks in Alabama and Arkansas, now Minnesota. And these aren't just, you know, reporting cases or kind of stuffing the ballot box with with doing DNA, you know, just antibodies and just trying to get that denominator up, saying, oh, we got all these mm-hmm. cases because they've got antibodies. And of course, none of them died because, you know, we didn't get their blood in the hospital. We got the blood in a drive-in, you know, screening, you know, come one, come all.
You
know, so,
you know where this is ultimately.
They're basically taking a lot of people that are asymptomatic, that had mild mm-hmm. cases, that would not go to the doctor for what they had. They didn't go to the doctor for what they had. And now they're going to go and do a lot of screening and say, oh, we're doing a lot of testing. We've got all these cases. They were mixing them all together. And now they're starting to divide them out. But they would mix them all together. And some of these states that did very little testing, like Florida and Texas, now mm-hmm. they're going and doing a bunch of antibody tests. And they're saying, oh, we test a lot. And they're going to get their number tested up in the, you know, we got 50,000 positives and we only got, you know, a couple thousand deaths. And that's because most of the positives aren't PCR tests. They're just antibody tests. And they're done just to kind of make the books look good. You know, so there's a lot of playing games with the numbers by the various states. And I sent you a link to the excess deaths that are by the CDC. And just as a review, what this is, this is based, you know, very, very basic data. This doesn't have anything to do with, you know, whether they were tested, whether they weren't, whether there was an antibody test or whether it was a PCR test or you know, whether it was they died at home or whether they died in the hospital or what mm-hmm. some doctor said they died of. Or this is just dead people based upon death certificates. So that's all that's done here to compile this graph. That basically, each state sends in how many people died that week, and there's a little bit of a delay. So, you know, they sometimes they trail. So the most recent weeks, you know, are not complete, and the numbers go up higher as they get a full data set. But it's basically saying this is how many people died in this location in this week. And if you use the pull down that actually shows the graphs go back to 2017. So there's like 4 years worth of data. And you can see that there's a little bit of waviness that more people die in the winter, whether it's flu or whether it's another flu-like condition so they tend to peak in January, February, then they go back down, over the summer, and then they peak back again. And they just have that wave. So each year they have that. If it's a bad flu season, like 2018, you know, in January of 2018, so the 2017-18 flu season, then you can get numbers that get a little bit above what the cutoff for a threshold is at the higher end, and that indicates that, you know, they've got excess deaths. Usually the actual number of deaths is a little bit below the curve because they're not excess. They're kind of just as expected. And if you look at the graph for the entire country, you see this very big peak that shows up, you know, in April and May. It shows up after the flu season. It's the COVID deaths. And some people have gone and looked at those numbers and see how many COVID deaths they have and see that the number of people that actually died when COVID was going around is about 30% higher than the number of cases that were actually listed as COVID deaths. So that's the evidence that the numbers that are, you know, the 100,000 that most showed reaching today, some of them showed it reaching that yesterday, that in reality, there wasn't 100,000 that died through today. There's about 130,000 that died based upon the excessive death. And what's useful about this table is you can do each state. There's a pull-down menu. You get the curve for the 4 years for each of the states. And the ones that have had significant outbreaks, like New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and Illinois and Michigan and Louisiana, they all have very dramatic peaks that happened in April or May. And all of those peaks are significantly higher than anything they've seen with flu. Right. And it basically shows what those numbers look like. So this is real data that doesn't have anything to do with who manipulated it. It's not like some guy going to the hospital in New York one day and say, oh, I don't see many people here. It must all be fake news. Yeah. Yeah. This is real data involving millions of people.
Well,
it's derived just from the fact that they died and they wrote out a death certificate. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what it says on the death certificate, whether they said they died of COVID or whether they said they died of a heart attack and just happened to have COVID, like anybody's going to believe that. And it's just, they're dead. they file a death certificate and the CDC compiles all this information because it gets all fed into them. And it's not something they just started for COVID. They've been doing this all along. They usually do it for flu to see when there's a particularly bad flu season and the number of deaths exceeds, you know, what the threshold is, which is a little bit above what it normally is.
I'm going to go back to this mail-in ballot thing, which is only going to get to be far more incendiary. I think this may end up going to, now watch for it, or listen for it, online voting through absolutely guaranteed, I'm being facetious, 100% solid, non-hackable voting software. Instant voting, boom, all around the country. Instantaneous results, none of this agony, alleged vote counting problem. That is going to be presented at some point. To make it easier for old people don't have to go to the post office, whatever, blah, 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 or the polls anymore. Well, eventually it'll be there. I'm not saying it'll be there now or this year, but that's coming. Online voting.
Yeah. I have high suspicions on that.
Well, come on, it'd be easy to fix. Any of it is fixable. Any of it. Any mode of voting is fixable.
And it's also hackable. I mean, that's the whole thing about the voting. That's the whole idea, that the voting machines are not online. And that they're basically
I go back to the Collier Brothers book, Vote Scam, where they followed their paper ballots in Florida. Speaking of Trump's home state, they followed their paper. Yes, it is his home state now. They followed their paper ballot to the county election central, and they were not allowed in. And they were able to get in somehow with a camera, a film camera. And there were a bunch of older ladies in there, like senior citizen types who were volunteering to count ballots. And they watched all sorts of irregularities going on. Let's put it at that. It's in the book Vote Scam. And when you see paper ballots that wide open to abuse, misuse, and corruption, and it doesn't matter. Then you got the guy who testified in Florida, Trump's home state, about how he was hired to rig the electronic voting machines and how easy it is. That's a legendary piece of testimony online. And so when you have online voting, you're still going to have potential problems. It doesn't matter. Corruption is corruption is corruption, and we have problems here. So don't be surprised if in a couple of years you don't see online voting be presented. That was my point. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll be surprised. Let's put it that way. I just don't see going down that route because of much too easy to hack from
a distance. Well, I don't... Programming those. Did you ever see that testimony of that programmer that was hired to do? It might have been Broward, a big county. He was put in charge of all of it, and he testified. He whistleblower under oath. He's a formal IT science guy. And anyway, I'll see if I can find it. Just FYI, that I don't trust voting machines either. So anyway.
Yeah, but my prediction is that the states that want to go ahead and do the mail-in voting will be able to do mail-in voting, and they'll have
the
same types of controls that they have you have to sign it, they compare signatures, you got a paper trail, and
I've done it before here. We got it here in Oregon. I've done it.
Right. So the argument that you shouldn't be able to do that when it's been done for years.
It's specious and ridiculous.
And in some states, it's the majority of the vote. Some of them is still a significant percentage, and some of them it's allowed, but it's not that common. But my prediction is that a lot of people will want to do it this fall. I think it's going to be a disaster. And actually, these excessive deaths, I think, provide more evidence for exactly what is going to happen. And it's an indication that what's happening with COVID is just a rerun of what happened with swine flu, and a rerun of what happened with the 1918 pandemic. And that's just the way viruses evolve. When they get into a new species or they're dramatically different, I'm not sure what the case was in 1918. I think it was a version of swine, actually, that got in. But in any event, it was something that was devastating, and it went in two or three waves. It had this first wave, which was fairly
the
minor.
The Herald wave.
Then. Right. Back then, they didn't even know what viruses were. They didn't know what caused flu.
Knew
it was something that was contagious. And they kind of noticed a little bit of something in the spring, and nobody paid that much attention because it really wasn't that significant. And then when it happened in the fall, that's when you saw the big spike in the casualties and the millions of people that ended up dying. And the same thing happened with the swine flu. In the swine flu in the spring, most of the effort in the spring was just to prove that there was a pandemic, that it was a novel species of swine. It had a weird combination of genes. It was a triple reassortant, which wasn't that unusual, but it actually had some of the genes were from North America, some of the genes were from Asia, and actually it was the M gene from Asia that seemed to be the one responsible for it to be able to transmit easily in humans. And so there wasn't that many cases in the spring. In the spring, it moved around and eventually got declared a pandemic because it was in Mexico and it was confirmed first in the United States, and then it was kind of looked like it was also in Mexico and it was also in Canada. And then I said, North America is not enough to call it a pandemic. And then it was in South America, and I said, you need to get it over in some other continents. And then it went to Europe, and then it was down in Australia, and then it started to show up in Asia, and then finally it got declared a pandemic. And by the spring, it really was all over the world. It was every continent except Antarctica. And
that was without air travel, too.
No, I'm talking about the swine flu in
2009.
In 1918, it was more, the troops were bringing it home. And horse and buggy
transit, troops. It ended World War I. As far as mail vote-in, 20 states permit voters to vote via mail, but only via absentee ballots. And they need an excuse. Then you can vote by mail, absentee ballot. 6 states and the District of Columbia allow voters to request permanent absentee status. So they can vote permanently by absentee. So only 3 states, Oregon, Washington, and Colorado, conduct their elections completely by mail. And I'm one of those 3. So that's it. FYI.
And so, the states made the determination that generally they made it by the citizens voting for it, and they voted and said, they want to have that option, or they want to, everybody be able to do it. And whatever it was, but each state could do that. They had to have safeguards so that, it wouldn't leave it open to some type of fraud. That's what the current status is. And this fall is going to represent almost certainly an unprecedented situation where it's going to be dangerous to vote in person. The majority of the people would prefer to just mail in their vote than go stand in line with a bunch of people wearing masks or scarves. they're not even N95 masks. They're just cloth.
No, they're loose fitting cotton.
Right, you're right. The virus can go through, but if you cough and it's kind of the liquid form, it kind of gets stuck on the mask and doesn't go as far, and so it's not quite as contagious as it would be without the mask. And neither of those is ideal. It's not the place that a lot of people are going to want to be, and especially if their vote's going to be the same whether they drop it in the mailbox or whether they go stand in line. And most people would much prefer to drop it in the mailbox. So it's hard to imagine that it's not going to be significantly more widespread than it's been in the past, because it's going to be a significantly different type of a situation when it gets, when you get around to the fall. And I think it's going to become increasingly obvious that right now, like I say, the numbers hit 100,000, the holiday's over, so the numbers kind of got a little bit more like normal today. They're still a little bit lower than they've been. There are almost 1,400 deaths today. There were about 18,000 new cases, and that's in the same ballpark. It's usually closer to 20,000 new cases, and lately it's been closer to 1,500 deaths on a weekday, and it gets down closer to 500 to 1,000 over the weekend on those days. So the numbers kind of bounced back today, got over 100,000 total on most tallies out there. And it's shifting somewhat. I mean, some of the states that accounted for the lion's share of the cases are not as dramatic. You know, New York and New Jersey were still are number one and number two as far as the total number of cases and the total number of deaths. But, I mean, New Jersey still got fairly high, which I think made up a little bit for the weekend. They had 148 deaths today. They had twice as many, exactly twice as many as New York. New York had 74. Mm-hmm. And Pennsylvania got over 100, and Illinois got 160. But most of the states were, you know, a little under 100, the bigger ones. Massachusetts had 74, and California had 87, and Michigan had 68. And then others were kind of in the, 40 to 60 range. And so it's not as dramatic. I mean, this was the second lowest for New York. It was 74. The lowest was yesterday, it was 73. And so it's been below 100 for like 3 days in a row now, which is very unusual. I mean, if you recall, when at its peak, they were reporting 700-800 cases a day in New York.
Sure.
And so there's not as much.
And 200 a day were dying at home. Remember that? 200 a day
home. And that's why if you go to that table I had and look at either New York State or New York City, you'll mm-hmm. see how dramatic those peaks were as far as how many people were dying on per week. And, it's peaked and it's going down now. But it was nothing like a flu. Even a bad year for flu, it gets above the threshold, and it might do that for two or three or at most 4 weeks in a row. And usually it's just barely above. So it kind of breaks the threshold. But these just annihilated the threshold. They were way above the threshold. And they were peaking not during flu season, not in January, February, where they typically peak, but rather they were peaking in late March or April, mostly April, and a little bit in the beginning of May even. And so it was a displaced curve, but it was very, very large. And the reason is so much more dramatic than the flu is, like I said, this is a herald wave. This is just the first time it's kind of made its appearance. And historically, the initial appearance is not the peak. That's kind of it. Getting used to transmitting in humans, it's got to get around the world. And that's what these excess deaths show. It shows that a lot of the states, they had cases, but they were more in line with a flu-like thing where, the numbers were high and you saw there was something going on there and they got close to the threshold, but they didn't blow through the threshold like the states that I mentioned initially, like New York or New Jersey or Massachusetts. Where they just kind of, zipped right on. Ended up way above the threshold for five, 6 weeks in a row. And unfortunately, if it's at all like the swine flu, where you had these spotty locations in the spring and then everybody got it in the fall, if that repeats. And the reason I think it's got the potential to be extremely bad is because everybody's tired of the lockdown. They basically did this and they, went along with it. And now it's kind of being eased. And,
They're
it's
done.
Gonna be real
they're,
hard.
No, they're finished.
It's gonna be real hard to convince people to go back and do it now.
No, they're not going to.
When the bodies start piling up, you'd be surprised. But
we'll see.
By the time they do, there will be a lot of bodies that have already piled up, and you're going to get the clues over the summer because you're already seeing these outbreaks that are popping up in the South, in some of these locations where they don't have that many ICU beds.
Remember what Donald told us? There'll be a little spot fires. We'll just stomp them out.
Right,
don't worry.
Right. Well, these aren't getting stomped out. They're actually, in Montgomery, they're full, so they're shipping them, I think, to Birmingham, and they're shipping them to another city. I think it's Birmingham. And up in Minnesota, they're getting admissions that are doubling every day or every other day or something. And so they're getting concerned up in Minnesota. They're getting concerned in Arkansas. And they're going to have these happen over the summer. And the clues are going to be when these schools try to, have fall sports and have the team start to practice. And then they're going to see a few cases here and a few cases there and realize that and this is going to be difficult even with, different rules and regulations to try to implement some type of social distancing, but still have things move forward. And then undoubtedly, I saw the list for colleges and something like 60% of the colleges are planning to just have, in-person classes. Then some are doing some hybrids and a few of them are doing just online. And, if you got 60% of the schools, they're going to bring all these students on board on campus and, have them all move in and, think that they're going to do X, Y, and Z, which is going to keep the virus at bay. It's going to be a rude awakening because it just isn't that going to work.
I think what may happen, Henry, is that a lot of people are just going to say, bring it on. We'll go through it. We're going to have to get through this. We're tired of living like caged animals. I think this is the sense I'm getting out there.
Well, that's the reason it won't work. That's what I'm saying. That's the reason it is going to be devastating in the fall. Because even if the governors say, this isn't working, this is getting out of control, they'll get enough people that won't go along with it that'll stay out of control.
And they'll just give up. I think so. And it will be back to the 80% who get it won't be hospitalized. 20% will, if those statistics hold, if they're accurate.
Yeah.
And the 80% who get by it will say, I had it, I got by it, and you'll see.
You've seen the mild version of the virus.
Oh, I understand that. I wanted to go into that in just a minute. That was my next topic. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is just the Herald wave. I remember what happened with swine flu. And it's the same concept. It's the virus is there. It's a new species. The species doesn't have much immunity.
The virus hasn't even honed in fully yet.
And what ends up happening is because there isn't immunity, any old virus can cause an infection. So you can have, a low viral load where you kind of get it at a distance and you have something, but it's not really that serious because you start out with a low viral load. So even though you don't have much immunity, you kind of start building the immunity and you don't get that sick and you get over it. And it's just saying hello. I mean, it's there. Now with COVID, it's a little bit different because it's got a much higher fatality rate. So you do see these outbreaks, and these outbreaks do cause problems. And, you know, they were controlled by people just, you know, shutting down with these lockdowns and the social distancing. And that's what kept it under control in the spring. And then in the fall, when you got people saying, you know, exactly what you're saying, well, let's just let her rip and see what happens. Well, what's going to happen? It's going to be a serious pandemic, because then the virus has already had, you know, several months to kind of fine tune things and to select out the versions of the virus that do very well in humans and can grow to higher levels, and therefore they can lead to more infections, because you start with a higher viral load. And if you start with a high viral load, then it's very easy to overwhelm the host, and you're going to have more serious cases. And it's not going to be spotty like this is. I mean, if you go through that table that CDC, you can search on each state individually, and you'll see some of the states, it was pretty dramatic, and some of the states, it was, you know, you could hardly tell. You kind of got to the threshold. It kind of just looked like a bad flu season. And that's because it wasn't at these high levels everywhere. It was only spotty. I mean, you didn't have any of these high levels out west. I mean, California right. had a lot of right. the initial cases, but they didn't have...
By keeping... And people would say this, and they'd want me to ask you this. Okay, in California, for example, 3,800 dead, 99,000, 100,000 cases. The right. lockdown... kept
but
a lot of people.
That includes the antibodies, but go on.
Oh, it does? Which are 50% yeah. fallacious. All right.
Right.
So right. 50%, we but had a lot of. It, yeah. The lockdown kept a lot of people out of the line of fire so they didn't get infected.
Right.
They
right.
are. They're not. I'm just saying they're not going to stand for it. I think they're going to just take it, no matter what happens. And it's going to get to the point where it's not yeah. even worth trying to lock down. It'll be everywhere. I just think that's my sense.
Well,
I'm not saying that's good or yeah, bad or anything else. Now, the other thing I want to get to before we run out of time here, and I think this is relevant. By the way, the story Henry's mentioning, if you look for the various state totals, he gives me the top five or six every day. You'll see them down there. It's right under the California cases, and it says excess deaths linked to COVID, CDC Interactive. Right. It's an interesting presentation. Now, the question I have, you talked about viral mutations and how they can mutate into a refined and more deadly form. Right. And this one's right. got the polybasic advantage over a normal virus. This can go to several different types of body cells. What
right,
about
right.
the idea?
The polybasic plebiscitin is in all of these versions. I mean, the original version has a polybasic plebiscite. So all of the SARS-CoV-2s that are out there, they all have the polybasic plebiscite.
Got it.
That's in the standard version. You know,
all right. Good. Now, the question
version.
I have is, and let me just state it, and then you can take it apart and represent it. SARS and then MERS. SARS was here for we'll call it a season and a half. And it didn't even scratch the surface of what this virus has done. It disappeared. It disappeared to the extent that efforts to create a vaccine just stopped. Basically, this went away. Then MERS came along. And that went away. Did
right.
these viruses mutate into oblivion? Why did they become less effective at infecting human beings and just go away. What caused that in your professional estimation? Why did they go away?
Well, they weren't that, because they weren't that effective to begin with. They never became a pandemic. They never spread
Correct.
Around the world. They were
right.
always localized. And the reason they're localized is they're not good at infecting humans. So that they, a lot of the MERS, the reservoir there is bats plus camels. So a lot of the people that got infected in Saudi Arabia and still are getting infected have contact with camels. So the virus is natural.
I try to keep away from camels myself, but I understand.
Is in the camels. But in Saudi Arabia, they raise them. You know, they're there. They have close contact with them.
Well, they use them for racehorses, too. I got it.
Right. So the virus is not being maintained in the humans. Mm-hmm. It is being maintained in camels or bats. And then the humans come in contact with the camels and that they get infected and then they can transmit it to some of their contacts.
So the primary reservoir was not human. And that's what you're saying.
Correct.
All right.
And it's the same thing with SARS. I mean, most of the SARS cases outside of mainland China were due to one person at the Metropole Hotel that basically infected people that went to these different countries. So apart from that one person, if that one person didn't go to the hotel, or possibly if he didn't vomit outside his door, then the SARS wouldn't have even gotten out of China. It would have been mostly a Guangdong province type of a thing. And in fact, when it was in Guangdong province, it was at the time of the Metropole Hotel, there had only been 5 deaths. That it wasn't that lethal. It wasn't transmitting that well. You went and you got a doctor who was taking care of patients. He probably got infected by several different versions of the virus. And that version was more easily transmitted. He had this 29 nucleotide deletion and this open reading frame number 8. And that's the version of the virus that took off. But it wasn't all that effective. And then it came back in the fall, but the version that came back was again coming from these intermediate hosts. They were coming from the civet cats that were in the wet markets. And the later version didn't have that 29 nucleotide deletion. So it wasn't as efficient as infecting humans, and they went, they kind of nipped it in the bud. They culled all the wet markets. They got rid of all the intermediate hosts, and they did contact tracing on the initial cases. They got it under control, and at least reported wise, it just disappeared. There were no reported cases after late 2000. Oh, it was 2003 and beginning of 2004, and then that was the end of it. So neither of those became a pandemic. SARS-CoV-2 is much more efficient at infecting humans. So it's already spread around the world. It's already reached the pandemic level. It's in literally hundreds of countries. Or over 100 countries in the world. It's in places where there isn't good treatment, like Africa. It's Brazil's out of control because they got whacked out.
Oh, they're bad down there.
It calls it the little flu, and they're not even testing. They've got minimal testing, and they're already number 2 in the world. I mean, they're behind the U.S.
There is a country where it's going to run through everyone. That's just going to happen.
Right. And there's going to be a lot of people that die, and it's going to spread in South America, and it's probably going to spread out of South America, even with travel bans that really don't work very well. And especially like in the U.S., I mean, the the virus that was brought to the U.S., especially the European version, didn't come from Europeans coming here. It came from Americans coming here after they went to Europe. So, I mean, they went to Europe, they got infected, and they brought the virus back. And there was no ban on Americans returning from Europe. And even if they went through some type of quarantine, you know, not everybody would adhere to that quarantine. And many people never, you know, they can transmit it when they're asymptomatic, so they didn't even know they were infected. So the bottom line is the virus is all over the world. There's more in the United States than anywhere in the world. So it's all over the United States. When you flatten the curve, you flatten it, but you don't necessarily eliminate it. And now where it didn't get eliminated, and in many cases it wasn't even going down, when the restrictions started to ease and people, you know, as we've seen videos over the Memorial Day weekend, I mean, there was no social distancing. There was no mask. They were just going out and about and spreading the virus. And then things more are going to ease up. So it's going to get easier to spread over the summer. And it might be somewhat limited because more people are outside and it doesn't transmit as readily in the summer. But you're going to start getting ready for school. you're going to have sports teams starting to practice.
Oh, they're getting ready to practice. They're getting
month.
In shape already.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, like next week, actually. I mean, that's the beginning of next month. So, So next week, they're going to start practicing. And in the South, they start the beginning of August. And so they're going to try to do something in the beginning of August. Some schools, I don't know, there's all different types of schedules out there. Some schools are talking about starting early and ending early. So they're going to start in August, some colleges. So colleges are going to try to squeeze in the fall season before Thanksgiving. And so they're going to start early and end by Thanksgiving and take a big break. And they're going to run into trouble. And more people are going to go back to work, and they're going to run into trouble. And then there's all these spot things that are already starting to pick up, and they're going to accelerate. And those people are going to move around. I mean, the people that are in these states where they're having these activities, especially when they loosen up the lock, the requirements for the social distancing, they're going to get in some travel over the summer while they can. not necessarily flying, you know, flying's still at issue, but they'll drive, you know, they'll just go and get a vacation in over the summer and move the virus around. And so it's in the human population now, and it's not clear that it's going to leave the human population. There's no real reason to expect it to leave the human population because it's got a natural reservoir.
So it's indigenous now. We'll just count it indigenous,
right.
Like human herpes virus,
yeah.
HHV, same thing. It's here.
Yeah. Well, this is more going to be more.
It's not like the herpes virus, but it's part
of the respiratory disease.
It's part of the landscape,
and it's passed the same way, right? And so it doesn't need bats to maintain its reservoir. It's in the human population. It transmits very easily, and the only reason there weren't many, many more deaths was because of the social distancing. And it's going to be much more difficult. And it's going to be especially difficult in the U.S. because, A, the U.S. has all of these cases. Part of the reason they have all of these cases is there's no national program to do anything about it. You know, everything's up to the states, and different states have different regulations on, you know, what the limitations are and when those limitations come off, and whether they're going to follow the CDC recommendations as to, you know, get the virus level down before you start easing. And that didn't happen in many states. And like you say, some people are saying, well, they're not going to do it. Other people are following Trump's lead and say, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. You can't make me wear a mask. You know, it's my constitutional right to kill other people by coughing on them. it's the whole situation is just absurd. And it's going to make it more difficult to control here. I mean, it might not be as bad as Brazil. Might not be as bad as Russia. I mean, all of these dictators that lost control of the virus because they thought they could talk their way out of it, and the virus wasn't listening.
Well, it's going to be gone by the end of April, Henry. Remember?
and it's spreading in the southern hemisphere in Brazil, and it's spreading in the northern hemisphere in Russia and the United States. And it's not paying attention. It doesn't care, you know, what kind of propaganda goes out there. What kind
no,
of
it's happy the airlines are flying again. That's good. All right.
It's gonna be a disaster.
And well,
the spring is gonna look like a walk in the park. The fall
just
is going to be a whole different level.
I said last year, 2020, and I'm no prophet. I had a sense it was going to be hell on wheels, and it's going to wind up through the fall and into the end of the year like nothing. In all likelihood, like nothing we've ever seen before. It's going to be really, truly amazing.
And Fauci is working on shifting the blame, saying, well, you know, if everybody does the right thing, we might be able to control this.
He's amazing.
Nobody,
that guy is.
Very few people are going to do the right thing, and is not going to say, oh, there you go. That's what happened.
Yep.
And that will be what happened.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thanks, Henry.
Talk to you tomorrow. Okay.
All righty.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Good night. And thanks to all of you. We'll be right back with you tomorrow night. And let's see what Mr. Trump signs by way of his executive order in the morning. Talk soon.